I text him from my home. Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmoke. He is Lance Meadow. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to follow us that way and participate in the program. And we're finally here, our preview show of the Friday before the first regular season game, Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. And Lance, look, these two teams are very familiar with each other. We can break down a lot of the X's and O's and get in depth on it, and I'm sure we will over the course of the show. We'll be joined by Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com in just a minute or so right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. But what this game is probably going to come down to, let's be honest, is which team doesn't turn the football over, which team doesn't make the big mistake, or which team makes that one big play for the touchdown. That's going to be the difference between a win or a loss that, if history is any indication, is going to go down to the last 2 or 3 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, all of these games have been so close, it seems. Going back to 2011, I actually tweeted this out the other day. They've had 12 meetings since 2011 because they play each other twice a year, and just two meetings were decided by 10 points or more.
And let
Everything
me guess.
Else, less than a touchdown.
At least one of those meetings, Tony Romo wasn't playing because he was probably hurt, right?
Yes. I didn't look specifically how many games he's missed, but I can guarantee you that he was not on the field for at least one of them.
So, bottom line, folks, I know a lot of people think it's a really good matchup, and I actually do think the Giants' personnel matches up well with the Dallas Cowboys.
It does.
This is probably going to be a close game just because that's the nature of the beast this early in the year, especially within the NFC East. But let's talk about some of those matchups, Lance. And I think one of the reasons I think the Giants do match up well with the Dallas Cowboys is their defensive line. And as much as people want to talk about Jason Pierre-Paul and Olivier Vernon and their pass rush ability, it's their ability to stop the run along with Damon Snacks Harrison that really plays well against the Cowboys' strength, which is a run-first, play-action type of team.
And Ezekiel Elliott had mixed results last season in the two matchups against some of that defensive personnel that you mentioned. He ran for 51 yards in the first one, got a touchdown. That was his first ever NFL start. And then in the second matchup, had a very effective first half where he really got the better of that Giants front seven that you alluded to. Second
70-something yards in that first half, right?
Did very – even had more, actually.
I think 81, was it,
over
maybe?
80 okay. rushing yards. Yeah, I think it was 82 to be exact.
Okay.
So they kept him in check in the second half of that game. It was really a tale of two halves, I think, for the Giants' rushing defense. So, yeah, that's a huge matchup, John. Whether it's Darren McFadden, whether it's Alfred Morris, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, you know, whoever they mix and match in the backfield, it's going to be key for the Giants to take that away so that Dak Prescott has to start making plays down the field. Because, you know, when Prescott was put in that position in the second matchup, when the Cowboys weren't able to run the football in the second half, obviously he became turnover prone. And that's partially because the Giants have an opportunistic defense. But we know from years past, the Cowboys are so strong in terms of their ground attack with their O-line. They milk the clock. They wear down a defense. That's why the defense has to be on its toes.
No question about it. Now we're joined by Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Mickey, we kind of went through the position-by-position season preview with you over the summer, so let's try to focus on some of the big issues for this game. First of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us again.
Hey, no problem. Good to be with you.
Absolutely, Mickey. All right, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty here with the Cowboys, and I want to start with their secondary because I think that's one of the things that has really changed from last year. I know you guys were counting on a lot of the young players to step in and do a lot this year. However, a lot of those same young guys missed a lot of time in the preseason. How do you think the Cowboys are going to approach this with how they use their personnel, and do you think their game plan from last year, which quite frankly was very effective against the Giants defensively, is going to change because the personnel is different?
Well, from a personnel standpoint, yeah, a lot of the young guys have missed a lot of snaps in preseason and in training camp, so it kind of puts them a little bit behind. I think it prevented Chidobe Awuzie from challenging Nolan Carroll for the starting left cornerback job. But other than that, I think the rest from a starting position is as was going to be. You got Orlando Scandrick at right corner. Now Nolan Carroll, we know he's at left corner. Anthony Brown was always going to be the third guy, and he'll come in nickel situations, which I assume they'll open since the Giants use so much three wide receiver. And then Byron Jones and where they can rotate when they three man defensive line. Two linebackers and have a cornerback in each slot. Awuzie had been manning that position during training camp early in preseason before he had the hamstring and ankle problem. So I think if they're going to use him, that's where he would be used. I think Xavier Woods, sixth-round draft choice, is basically a special teams guy and a backup safety, and Jordan Lewis, who really has not gone through a full padded practice yet since getting with the Cowboys and really pulling a hamstring pretty badly. He's just kind of getting back into practice on a limited basis, so I don't think he would even be available. So if you're looking at, you know, from a youth standpoint, I think Awuzie would be the one guy that could contribute in some defensive packages. So from a game plan standpoint, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it's got a lot to do with if Odell Beckham is playing or not. You guys may help me with that if you got any new updates on his status. My guess was going to be that he'll be listed as questionable. Is that kind of what
correct.
You guys think?
That is the word. And, Mickey, I would be watching that warm-up field about 2.5 to 2 hours before the game, and then we'll all try to figure it out together.
Right, right. You know, and I understand it. There's no sense them telling the Cowboys if he's going to play or not, because if he tells you guys, he tells the Cowboys, right?
Right.
And it's sort of the same thing what the Cowboys will do with, you know, what they exactly will do at the middle linebacker position and, you know, who's going to be the backup quarterback. So I understand the game that gets played. And I know I guess it was a couple of years ago where I remember Odell missed a week of practice and yet he came and played against the Cowboys. I think he was having hamstring trouble. So, yeah. So, anyway, from a game plan standpoint, you know, regardless of what they say, obviously that'll affect what they do in the secondary if he plays or if he doesn't play. But I think that, you know, they're just going to try to change up the looks and the formations. I think the Cowboys like using their nickel defense. I think they like using their dime defense with three defensive linemen. So they'll do multiple looks, and I think those are some of the things they did last year to really kind of keep Eli Manning in check. You know, and I know the Cowboys lost both games, but they were awfully close, and it was the difference of one play probably in each game, and even the second game, I think we all forget that while it was 10-7, Dan Bailey's 55-yard field goal in that cold night hit the crossbar, so they were one yard away from tying up that game. So I think here's where I think the Cowboys' defense could be better. I think while they don't have that guy on the defensive line that everybody's worried about, I think they've got a bunch of guys that in a rotation, probably from a potential standpoint, they're better than they were last year, especially since DeMarcus Lawrence is healthy. He played the majority of last season with a disc that needed to be surgically repaired in his back as soon as the off season started in January, and he wasn't as effective as he was the year before. I think he's back to being DeMarcus Lawrence, and I look for him to be the guy that could make a difference up front.
I think that's a fair point. Plus, he was also suspended for the first four games of the season, too, so that's why he was limited. You mentioned the linebacker spot, Mickey, and Anthony Hitchens, who is going to be out for about, I think, 6 to 8 weeks because of that knee injury. How do they plan on filling in that role, especially here week one against the Giants?
I think it'll be a combination of Jalen Smith and Justin Durant. You know, they had signed Justin Durant right before training camp. As an insurance policy, just to have some experience on that linebacker core, and knowing and not knowing where Jalen Smith would be come September 10th. Well, it looks like he's ready to play. Now, don't interpret ready to play as to how well he will play, because I think that's still an unknown, at least in my eyes. You know, I've seen progress from him. He keeps making step after step forward, you know, seems to accomplish something every time he puts his pads on. But, again, it hasn't been a regular season game. So I think that's somewhat of an unknown. So I think in some combination, he and Justin Durant will split up what they do on that middle linebacker spot. And then, again, it comes down to what are some of the other things they do. Do they play nickel a lot? Do they play dime a lot with just one linebacker? And if it's one linebacker, it's Sean Lee.
Right.
So it's kind of an unknown to us right now how that will work out.
You know, Mickey, taking a look, I was just watching the second matchup between these two teams last year. And one thing that struck me looking at the passing game is that, you know, Dak Prescott numbers were not impressive, but I think there were two factors working against him in that game. I think the Giants got some pretty good pressure on him, one. And number two, some of that pressure came late because, quite frankly, the Cowboy wide receiving core, which I think is very impressive, one of the better groups in the league, really had trouble getting open against these giant corners. Have you guys talked to them a lot about that this week? And I guess specifically the Janoris Jenkins-Dez Bryant matchup, how the Cowboys are going to try to get some more opportunities in the passing game against this Giants secondary.
Well, here's the weird thing about that game. How well did Eli Manning play?
No, not great. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was sort of a two... Both teams struggled offensively.
They did.
And I'm not saying it had anything to do with the day, right? Remember, it snowed before the game, and then it subsided, and everybody made a big deal. Dak was throwing to Dez and got intercepted. Well, he fell down, right? He slipped on the ground, and the ball went – was it Jenkins that got the interception?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So, you know, I went back and looked at the stats. Both teams ended up with 260 yards total offense that day.
True.
Both teams had three sacks. Both teams had three turnovers. So it was just kind of a weird day, because I'm not sitting here and telling you the Cowboys figured out how to cover the Giants and held them to 10 points.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, fair.
So what happened was is the Giants won both games by 1 point and 3 points. And again, there was a field goal that missed by a yard that would have given the Cowboys 10 points from 55 yards out. So, to me, it was about as even as it can be. Now, did Dez Bryant not have good games against them? Absolutely. But the Cowboys' offense that second time around didn't have good days. And remember, he missed a lot of training camp, so I don't know how ready he was for that season opener. Missed a lot of snaps in preseason games. And again, it was Dak Prescott's first game as a rookie quarterback in the National Football League. And he still put up 19 points and had more total yards than the Giants did. So, you know, it was kind of weird. And I understand it, but I think we'll see a different Dez Bryant on the field this game, this season, than we did for the start of last year. Because if you go back and look at you know, what he did over the last seven regular season games that he played, not counting Philadelphia when they punted, and then include the Green Bay playoff game, you know, he would have factored into like 86 catches for 1,200 yards and 16 touchdowns. And the only game that, yes, he did get shut down was that game against the Giants when he only had one catch and then ended up fumbling at the end. So I just think a lot of things went into those two games that have kind of skewed how close these two teams really are.
Talking about Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. And, Mickey, the play in the trenches to me is an interesting one to watch in this matchup here, mainly because of some of the changes to the Cowboys' offensive line and how good the Giants' defensive line has looked, specifically in the preseason. We know that the left guard spot is going to be new for the Dallas Cowboys, and Lyle Collins is moving over to right tackle. We talked to you about this in the offseason. You highlighted the fact, listen, they still have three Pro Bowlers, and I get that. But what have you seen out of Collins since he's moved to right tackle, and what do you make of Chaz Green if he indeed gets the starting nod at left guard?
I think they're probably, from an offensive standpoint, the two biggest questions they have entering the season. I think Lyle Collins is going to get better. I don't know how good he is right now at right tackle. And if you think about it, the last time he played in a real game at tackle was 2014 at LSU.
Yeah.
Because after the offseason here, his rookie year, they had moved him to guard, and he started playing guard and then got hurt last year, four games into the season. So or two games into the season, excuse me, and so really hadn't played that much football and certainly hadn't played right tackle in quite some time. So I see him getting better. Now, we'll find out how much better he's gotten because I still think he has a ways to go. And I think Chaz Green's still a huge question mark at left guard. Here's another guy. You know, he played four games last year. Well, they were at tackle. He started two games. He got hurt after the fourth game, and that was it for him. And he missed his whole rookie year. So he hasn't played much NFL football. And how well he plays at a position that he hasn't played but one half at guard while he was at Florida, you know, he's another guy. They want him to win that position. I don't know, you know, they still haven't said if it's him or Jonathan Cooper starting, but I think they're going to go with Chaz Green as long as he's healthy. Here's a guy that's playing a brand new position, and the first time he's going to play a full game at guard is going to be in the National Football League against a Giants front that's awfully good. So, yeah, I think that's one thing the Cowboys have to be, you know, worried about somewhat when they make a game plan for going into this game against the Giants defense.
Mickey, final question for me. The Ezekiel Elliott saga, I'm sure you're shocked we waited until the last question here to ask you about it.
Yeah, what happened? I was going to say, hey, what took you so long?
I am going to lay out two scenarios for you. Scenario A,
okay.
Ezekiel Elliott has been distracted. He did not play a lot in the preseason. He had to miss maybe a practice or two to deal with his off-the-field trouble. He's not ready to go in week one. He's not going to be himself. Scenario B, Ezekiel Elliott is aggravated as hell. He's rested. He's going to come out going a million miles an hour looking to punish people because he's mad about what's going on off the field. Which one of these do you think is going to be the case on Sunday night?
I think the most likely one will be scenario B. I'll take door number two. because if you look at it, you know, all he's missed because of the legal, you know, struggles going on were two practices 2 weeks ago when they were getting ready to go to New York for the appeal. And that was the two practices before the what would have been for the Cowboys the fifth preseason game that got canceled against the Texans. So other than that, I mean, that's really all he missed from a work standpoint. And when I see him on the field, I see Ezekiel Elliott. I see him running hard. I see him you know, a lot of enthusiasm on the field. So that's why I think that's the Ezekiel Elliott you'll see. I'm not sure how much he would have played in the preseason anyway.
Okay.
Because if you look back to last year, he played in two preseason games. I think he ended up with maybe eight carries last year as a rookie because he was nursing a hamstring. So I thought that they would just kind of nurse him along, meaning not throw him out there for a whole bunch of carries because, as we know, running backs don't forget how to run the football over the offseason.
Mickey, appreciate the time. I'll talk to you on DallasCowboys.com in about 45 minutes, and then we'll see you on Sunday night at Texas Stadium.
Thanks, Mickey.
Looking forward to it, and remember, you looked really good on the big board again on that pregame taping of that pregame show.
I appreciate it, Mickey. Thank you. Have a good one. Yeah, they put me up. I did one of their pregame TV phone hits thing, and they got a headshot. And yeah, they have, like, a video board that's, like, twice the size of our backdrop here, and they just put my face there.
So they put the still photo
it's
on the background.
It's frightening.
Gotcha.
It is. Their ratings must just go.
Oh, they just love it. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I feel bad
down
for them.
By the second.
Absolutely. So there's the take on the Cowboys. We got, again, we wanted to kind of focus on the big issues for this game. I think we hit most of them.
Yep.
And I think the two big questions for Dallas, and I think it was the two questions that you asked, Lance, I think they were good ones, is how do they balance Durant and Jalen Smith? How much do they trust Jalen Smith to be out there? How much can he be out there given where he is physically and how much he's done? And then what do they do at left guard, which I think is another question. Yeah, you have the other offensive line there. That's great. But the left guard's going to have to deal with Snacks Harrison. And then their right tackle, Lyle Collins, is going to have to deal with Jason Pierre-Paul. So to me, those are two big factors that the Giants could try to take advantage of a little bit on Sunday night.
I agree. I think JPP, Lyle Collins, is probably more critical than Janoris Jenkins against Dez Bryant, if you were to ask me.
And it's funny, matchups. And I think we're going to tease the factor fiction on the web written
exactly
version. And I already sent mine into Dan Salamone, and I decided to go with What did I go with? I think I ended up going with Jenkins and Bryant. But then I thought about it like a couple hours after I wrote it.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should have won JPP Leo
Collins.
That's
exactly where I went. I just, you know, the more and more I thought about it, new right tackle, I think JPP is going to test him out in the early stage. Doesn't mean Collins is going to struggle and JPP has a huge advantage. I still like what Collins could do at tackle, even though he's mainly been a guard in the NFL. But I still think it's one to watch. I'm going to monitor that much more so than I'm going to look at what Dez and Jackrabbit are doing. With respect to the linebacker position that we talked about with Mickey, Justin Durant is a polished veteran. Let's not forget about that. He's been with the Cowboys for two stints. He knows the scheme.
He hasn't played a lot, though. He's been hurt a lot the last couple years.
He has been banged up, but they brought him back last year because of all the injuries that they had at that position. So it's not as if they're throwing in somebody brand new, but I think ultimately as the season progresses, John, they want Jalen Smith to get to the point where they feel he can take X amount of snaps and play an integral role within that defense.
And we'll see how good he is. I mean, we don't really know what he is. I mean, you can do all the work in preseason and practice. That's great. But until he gets out there and really does it in a real game, who the heck knows? We'll get to your calls in just 1 second, 201-939-4513. One other point I want to make, Lance, before we get to the calls, and then we'll break down the rest of the game, obviously, with you guys on the phone here. To me, there are so many interesting individual matchups. And we already mentioned a couple of them. Dez Bryant, Janoris Jenkins. And by the way, I went back and when I was looking at the Cowboys passing game, I was watching that matchup a lot. And it's not like they put him on one side of the field with Dez, didn't give any safety help, and just said, go, cover him on your own. That's not what happened. But he did do a very good job covering him within the scheme, which is fine. That's all you need for a player to do. Number two, you mentioned Lael Collins and JPP. I think Tyron Smith and Olivier Vernon is a fun matchup. Two of the premier players of their position. That's great. One matchup that I almost went with for Fact or Fiction as a sleeper matchup, I think DRC Cole Beasley is a lot of fun. I mean, you got a great slot corner. Cole Beasley is one of the most elusive slot receivers in the league. He's a great possession receiver, one of Dak Prescott's go-to third down guys. And DRC did a great job on him last year. I think that's an underrated matchup. How about Landon Collins, Jason Witten, if they get matched up a little bit? I mean, there are just so many good matchups in this game. How about Byron Jones having to cover Evan Ingram one-on-one, the tight end? I mean, there are so many great matchups between good players in this game that it's just going to be so much fun to watch for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the X's and O's of this matchup because there's so much that these teams are familiar with in terms of the personnel, so it's more of the chess match that ultimately decides what's going to be the outcome of this contest.
Player versus player.
Yeah.
No one's fooling anybody here, Lance. I mean, the Cowboys know what the Giants are going to do. The Giants know what the Cowboys are going to do. Yeah, you're going to have a couple wrinkles year to year with new players. I get all that. But the coordinators are the same. The coaches are the same.
The culture, the identity is the same.
It's the same. Who's going to make the play? Who's going to outplay the other guy? And to me, that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
Well, I was listening to Ron Marinelli, the defensive coordinator, speaking of the coordinators being the same. And when he spoke to the media, you know, similar to what we were talking about with Mickey, John, how there's so many young guys that have been banged up. He hasn't really had everybody on the field during the preseason and training camp. You know, he's trying to get a feel of what the key strength of this unit is, but the one thing that Marinelli focuses on, and he does this every single year, regardless of his personnel, is takeaways.
Yep.
He loves to emphasize that, and that's exactly what he told the media. He says, I don't care, you know, whether you don't think our secondary's good, whether you don't think we have a pass rush. The point that I tell all of my guys is go for the football, strip the football, and when the ball's on the ground, make sure you get it.
Yeah.
That's, to me, something that I think is probably the most important aspect of this game. And, yes, we could say it like a cliche all the time, but the way the Cowboys make up for their defensive shortcomings is being opportunistic and changing field position. If the Giants protect the football, that takes away what could be a huge turning point in this game.
And, by the way, that's what the Giants want to do to Dallas, too. Yeah. And Steve Spagnuolo has been coaching that all offseason long. So it should be really fun to watch. All right, here we go. 201-939-4513. Let's get to the calls. I'll take them in the order in which they will receive. So I'll start with Abdul in Minnesota. He's on line one. Hi, Abdul.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How we doing? Doing great, Abdul. What's up?
Good, good. So last night watching the game, the Kansas City Patriots game, I was just really impressed with the creative play calling on that Andy Reid did. You know, when he coached Philadelphia, I couldn't really give him credit because, you know, he coached the Eagles. But it was just so impressive watching the running plays come out of multiple formations, people going in motion, running back, you know. When was the last time the Giants had a running back go up the seam for a pass? So my point is, I really hope that the Giants coaching staff, they probably didn't watch the game last night because they're probably getting ready for their own game. But I hope that they show a semblance of that kind of creativity. Because last year people were complaining about the offensive lack of scoring, and I think it was three-pronged. I think it was personnel, I think it was injury, and I think it was play calling. And I think we took care of two of those three, and the last one is yet to be seen because in the preseason, you don't really play all your cards. But I really, really hope that on Sunday we see a big leap in creative play calling with the Giants. You know, more people coming out of different formations, more most. This is something more creative than the simple, vanilla offense that we've seen the past 2 years. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I want to say a couple things. One, it's all right to appreciate and give Andy Reid credit when he was with the Eagles. They did win the division like 8 straight years. I mean, he was doing something right when he was with Philadelphia, too. I hear you. I think some of it has to do with new personnel for the Chiefs. You know, they had a new running back in Kareem Hunt that a lot of people didn't know a whole lot about. You know, Tyreek Hill was someone I still think that's kind of discovering his skill set as he goes along. And Andy Reid's always been a very creative offensive coordinator, but I want to go after one thing you said. One of the reasons the Giants' offense struggled last year is because of injury. I thought the Giants' offense was actually extremely healthy last year. I mean, not many guys missed time over the course
really
of the season.
Guy.
So, I mean,
Shane Vereen and the Johnson fullback injury really limited our play calling.
Yeah, Abdul
was never on the field enough to at least.
In fairness, if you go into a season and you tell me that two guys that aren't even technically starters for you are your only major injuries on offense, I will sign up for that any day of the week. Every team deals with that.
And I was going to add that Will Johnson, even though I agree that
thanks
had
for the call,
had him,
Abdul, appreciate it.
They would have had more versatility. But Will Johnson, there wasn't even enough of a sample size to see what he could do consistently on the field
correct.
To say by removing him from the picture, you know, this detrimentally hurt the Giants. So, once again, I wouldn't necessarily point to injuries. I would agree with you as being the big hurdle for the Giants last season.
And this is a bugaboo I have, too. Everyone complains when a team doesn't score points that the offense isn't creative. I feel like they're judging on results. When a team scores points, they're creative. When they don't score points, they're automatically not creative. And it's just kind of the way it goes. I don't buy the whole predictability thing for the most part, to be honest. I just don't.
Well, and I want to go back to the Patriots-Chiefs game last night. Kansas City deserves a lot of credit, but at the same time, I saw a whole lot of breakdowns on the part of New England's defense. Tyreek Hill was wide open on that long touchdown.
So was Hunt.
Hunt, I mean, it was almost like they were like, sure, come up the seam. Find all the holes.
And by the way, Alex Smith was sitting back there sipping a cup of tea.
Yeah, well,
on most
so
plays.
Was Tom Brady at points, too, but at least Kansas City made more adjustments, I felt.
Well, I think Kansas City
along.
Is better defensive personnel than the Patriots do right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing differences in terms of the personnel groupings and how effective they can, you know, get to the quarterback, especially how that game played out. So I wouldn't necessarily use that game as the poster child, I guess, is my point, John, that, well, look at what Andy Reid did in terms of moving people around, and this is what everybody else needs to follow. I think it was a combination of some of the young guys who you mentioned, there wasn't a lot of film on them, and New England's defense just really being a deer in headlight type of situation last night.
And they lost one of their best players, too, Hightower, so that's the things they got to deal
with.
Well,
and then the Chiefs also with Eric Berry, too. I think both teams were hit.
Hopefully that's not a totally torn Achilles tendon.
That's what Andy Reid said after the game. He says he's...
Well, they said it was an Achilles and they're getting an MRI, but I don't think it's official that it's completely
torn. No, it's not official,
yet, right?
But Reid, if you connect the dots, was of the mindset that he's expecting the worst in terms of a torn Achilles.
And you know what? By the way, folks, let me just throw this out there, too. That's when people complain, why are these guys playing in preseason? I don't understand. Well, you know what? Maybe if he played some more preseason snaps, he wouldn't have a non-contact injury in his first regular season game in the second half when he's tired and he's cramping and he's out of juice. Tyreek Hill had cramping at the end of that game. A couple of the guys are cramping at the end of that game.
Issue.
That's what the preseason prepares you for. So when you're going four quarters for the first time, you don't suffer a serious injury. You know what I mean?
Well, if Eric Berry gets hurt in preseason game number 3, do you think Chiefs fans feel any better that he got hurt in preseason game number 3 as opposed to the fourth quarter of week 1?
Well, you know what? They'll actually probably be madder, but it doesn't make any sense for them to be madder.
Yeah.
But they would be because it's a psychological thing.
But at the end of the day, my point is injuries occur no matter what type of the year and type of the month and whatever it may be.
Bingo. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 3 and say what's up to Conrad in Manhattan. What's up, Conrad?
Hey, fellas. Love the show.
Thank you.
I'm so pumped. But Sunday just seems so far away. I can't believe it. I just want to say two things.
Sure.
When it comes to matchups. I think that when we look at the team last year, the defense, when we played them the first game, these guys were all new to Spags' system, and they were coming in into a system that was extremely difficult, and we saw how that game went. I think by the time we came around to the second game, the defense was, you know, actually gotten, you know, way better than it did in the first
game. Well, Conrad, that's true. I agree with you, but at the same time, that's also the first game in their NFL careers for Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. They also improved from game one to game two.
And I agree with you. I think that the difference that's going to be this year is the key players on offense that we did add. And I think Darian Thompson is going to prove to be a key component to the defense as well.
I agree.
You know, last year, you know, I love Cruz, but Cruz was playing in a position that was not his, you know, sweet spot. We all know him to be a slot receiver, but last year he was on the outside. And this year we're going to have Brandon Marshall, and I strongly believe that Odell is going to play. You know, there's no way I think he's going to miss this game. And with the addition of the two tight ends that we have, the rookie Engram and Tillerson, I think that the, you know, the Giants are going to be, you know, ready to go. I think the defense is going to be, it's going to be hard for Dallas to move the ball against our defense. But overall, I think that our offense, with the players that we have, we're going to be able to move the ball against Dallas because their defense is just simply not that good to stop our offense. That's my opinion when I come to the game. I'm pumped up. I cannot stand Dallas. Oh, I can't.
Well,
I really dislike that team.
Conrad, the one thing I did want to add is, and I understand it's a big narrative that the Cowboys defense has a lot of question marks on paper, but I just feel as if we have this conversation every single season. I mean, I remember years where the Giants had a number of games in a row where they were going up against suspect secondaries. And I think we discussed this in the early part of last season. Green Bay was banged up and some of the other teams that they'd gone up against. And we were talking about this is a great matchup for Eli Manning. It's an attractive matchup. It's juicy. They should be throwing the ball around like crazy. And then it didn't necessarily translate to the field. So that's why I shy away from the paper narratives that, well, on paper, they got a lot of young guys, they've got some new personnel, they don't have a pass rush, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for the Giants.
You could have
it's
said
not
this,
so simple like that.
You could have said the same. No, like Conrad, Lance is right in this respect. That you could have said the exact same things that you just said now about the Cowboys' defense before the Giants played them last December.
Yeah. And I agree, but I think that the Cruz last year was not getting any separation.
No, and that's fair. And you're right about that, Conrad. You're right. The Giants' new weapons on offense could be a difference maker. There's no question about it.
And I think that's where the difference is versus last year. And, you know, because last year we did say that the matchups when we're looking at it. And, you know, when we looked at the matchups, you know, their corners were not that great. But when you got on the field, you know, when they played during the scheme of their defense, you know, our receivers wasn't able to produce that much because they was doubling up on Odell, and Cruz was basically, you know, covered like a blanket everywhere he go. But I think with the addition of the you know, the players that we have on offense, I think that's a big deal. And I don't think that, you know, teams, especially Dallas with their weak secondary, are going to be able to scheme as well as they did last year simply because Brandon Marshall is going to get separation. You know, and Brandon, you know, Engram is going to be able to get open. It's not like Will Tye. You know, Will Tye, I think, given his skill set where he came from, you know, was put in a position where, you know, he gave us the best that he could actually do for his skill. But Engram is different. It's a different kid. It's a different beast, and we all know that. So I'm looking forward to it, gentlemen. You know, I'm so happy that the season is here. I will be calling on Monday. I think we're going to have a different kind of conversation on Monday because I think the Giants are going to go out there and set the tone for the season and put a beat on them boys.
All right, Conrad. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. And the other thing that's interesting, too, and I had a chance to talk to Byron Jones on yesterday, and it'll be on our pregame show on Sunday. And I asked him what it meant when people talk about Rod Marinelli's defense, that he puts his players in a position and doesn't complicate things to the point where they're able to go fast and make plays. And he basically said, look, guys, we're not running a bunch of different schemes. We're not complicating anything. We know what we do. The other teams know what we do. Yeah, we'll try to disguise some things here or there. Sure, every team does that. But we're counting on our group to play harder, run faster to the ball, and, you know, go longer than the other unit, and that's how they kind of do what they do. So it'll be interesting to see if that can work against a more talented Giants passing game with the additions of Ingram and Brandon Marshall.
Well, and to a certain extent, that philosophy worked in the two matchups against the Giants last year because, you know, a lot of people would say that the Giants could have easily lit up the scoreboard and Dallas held its own. And part of that was because they were opportunistic. They didn't give up a lot of big plays. I think what's hurt the Cowboys, though.
And by the way, no big plays is a big one. The only big play they gave up was the Odell Beckham slant for a touchdown, which is what lost them that game. And that wasn't a deep pass through the air, that was a slant and catch and run.
Well, and that was going to bring me to my next point, which is that's usually what's come back to bite the Cowboys. It's not as if they're getting beat by 80 to 90-yard passes down the field. What's happened is somebody slips, somebody gets out of position, and the Giants have capitalized off of that. I mean, even look at the Giants' touchdowns, John, in the first game. Victor Cruz, who we just talked about, remember, he caught a touchdown in that game, but that was right in the red zone. That wasn't necessarily a long one. Sterling Shepard made a dynamic grab right before the end of the first half in the right corner of the end zone. So they weren't, like I said, getting killed over the top. It was just a matter that the Giants were, you know, hustling to the football and getting open in key moments to capitalize.
And we should mention Odell Beckham Jr. I know we did during the Mickey Spagnuolo interview, but in case people are just joining us, he has been ruled questionable for the game on Sunday, which means he'll be a game-time decision, I would imagine. He'll go to the field. He'll work out. They'll see how he's feeling. The Giants have, you know, some type of practice tomorrow, so they'll get a better feel then as well. My guess is that they'll bring him onto the field. They'll let him run, maybe see if he can cut a little bit, and they'll see if he's able to play. If he does play, Lance, and let's assume that he does for now, because if he doesn't, that's a whole different dynamic. You could do a whole other 30, 60-minute show on. But last year, the Cowboys matched up Brandon Carr with him. He followed him around. He covered him all over the field. I wonder what they're going to do if Beckham plays this week. Will it be Anthony Brown, who did well in spurts last year, but is just a second-year player? Do they trust Nolan Carroll, who struggled against the Giants when he was at the Eagles last year? Or is it Orlando Scandrick, who's usually their slot guy? Do they keep him outside against Beckham because he's their most experienced and probably best cover corner? I think it's an interesting decision for Rod Marinelli. Or does he play zone defense most of the game that doesn't go man?
Well, it gets back to what we were talking about with Conrad, the earlier call here. Now that Ingram's on the field, Rhett Ellison, Brandon Marshall, does that change the philosophy for Marinelli? Hey, let's not make things overly complicated. Let's not put guys out on an island. Let's go for more of a zone defense so that we can complement and protect one another. That wouldn't surprise me. Personally, if I'm looking at the Cowboys secondary, John, I agree with you. Scandrick has the most experience. I think, though, Anthony Brown has the best cover skills.
I think that's my – based on his play last year, I think you might be right.
And I think Anthony Brown is way ahead of where he is year-wise in the NFL. I think he made huge strides. I don't think they were expecting the type of production they got out of him during his rookie campaign.
Of course.
So what they were able to get out of him I thought was impressive. If I'm Marinelli and I want to move a guy around and shadow Beckham, Brown would be the first guy up before I would go to Scandrick.
It's a big spotlight for
huge.
A second-year player on a Sunday night.
Yeah, it's huge. It's just that, you know, Scandrick has, to me, transitioned more to the slot type of a role.
That's true.
Remember, when they go to their nickel defense, they moved him inside.
Yep.
They did not move Anthony Brown inside.
And they will do that again this year.
So I would lean towards Brown in those circumstances.
And again, another one of these matchup and dynamics that I think these little games within the games that get played between the individual players, I think is just, I'm really fascinated to see it. Charles in New Mexico on line 4. He's up next. What's up, Charles?
Guys, how are you, man?
Doing great. Charles. How are you, Charles?
All right. This is it. The big weekend, the game that I hate being in New Mexico for the last 40-plus years. We got to pound them. I mean, really, come on, guys. We're talking about their secondary. And I know Beckham's like a hush-hush quiet thing, but you guys are more around it than anybody. I mean, does it look like he's going to be able to play, or they just keep it hush-hush?
Charles, here's the thing. Look, what we're allowed to see at practice is he comes out, he stretches with the team, and then he goes in the side and works with the trainers. We've seen him run in a straight line in practice. We have not seen him cut in practice. You know, what he's doing behind closed doors is anybody's guess. Me and Lance don't have the answer to that question. If you would have asked me on Monday if I thought he was going to play, I would have said, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to play. Now, honestly, my personal opinion, and I don't know anything, I'm flipping a coin. I'm not sure right now.
Okay. Okay. And then as far as us against their offense, I mean, we fill the gaps. We stop Ezekiel Elliott, which is, I mean, we did it twice last year. I think we shut down their offense, and Dak is going to be frustrated with our defense, and I think we can go in there and win the game and hopefully – you know, catapult us into a great start. You know, four out of those first six games are on the road. So we need to get off early and protect Eli. In the preseason games that I did get to watch, I thought the offensive line looked a little better than last year. What do you guys think?
Well, there were spurts of them running the football more effectively. They also showcased the fullback. Rhett Ellison, I think, helped out. Orleans Darkwa had some impressive runs in short yardage situations. And Perkins probably looked his best in the Jets game, much more so than any other game in terms of the preseason. So,
I agree.
I mean, I think there were some mixed results still. But, Charles, there were certainly some signs of progression. But now that you're going to go up against a first defensive line unit for an entire game, I think is going to give us a better indication of how many strides this line has taken.
Thanks for the call, Charles. We appreciate it, buddy.
You guys be good.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Let's go to, I believe, Jay in Brooklyn was up next on line one. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing great, Jay. What's up?
Hey, just real quick, I want to just harp on something that I believe Boomer Esiason said a couple of weeks ago about the pressure being on Eli this season.
Okay.
I think it's really it's imperative that he gets off to a good start. I mean, he's a two-time Super Bowl champ. You know, he's been in the league forever. Plays every game. He's one of the highest-paid players in the game. It's time for him to go out there and put his imprint, you know, on the season, on this game. There were a lot of times last year that were – it seemed like him and the offense were just bystanders in the game, where they were just, you know, whether it was against Cleveland, against the Rams, against Minnesota, where if you ripped the back of the name off the jerseys, you wouldn't be able to tell who was the two-time winning, you know, Super Bowl quarterback and who was the journeyman quarterback. I understand the offensive line has issues. Every offensive line has issues. You know, the narrative with this line has become where they're like the Houston Texans circa David Carr, and that's not the case. I mean, they're not that bad.
No, not at all. It's not even anywhere near that. I mean, David Carr was sacked over 70 times as a rookie.
Right.
I understand the point you were making, but anybody that compares the Houston Texans offensive line that protected David Carr as a rookie to this Giants offensive line, I don't think has watched
enough
football.
And Jay, here's the thing. Going into this year, Eli Manning has said it, Ben McAdoo said it earlier in the year, that the biggest thing that Eli Manning has to do better this year, and I think everybody knows it, is protect the football. There were too many interceptions last year. There are too many lost fumbles last year. And I think if he can get that stuff cleaned up, I think it'll be fine. But I think everyone knows it's those turnovers and mistakes that really cost the team at points last year. And I think everyone knows that's what has to get cleaned up.
Yeah, and again, Dallas – again, Lance, you had a great point about how you could have said this about every single game last season about how they were playing. This is not a great defense. They're inexperienced.
Yep.
They don't have a lot of big-time players. I love Eli. I hope he goes to the Hall of Fame. I hope everything works out. Even if Odell doesn't play, Brandon Marshall, Evan Ingram, Roger Lewis, Shane Vereen, you have more than enough playmakers there. I mean, if you put a Roethlisberger or a Breeze or Matt Ryan behind this offense, they're going to put up 24 to 30 points. He has to put his imprint on this game. It's as simple as that.
Fair point. Thank you, Jay.
And
all right, buddy. Bye.
Appreciate the call.
I think a lot of it, though, depends on the playmakers around the quarterback, too. You know, I mean, I think it's a fair point. Protecting the football, as you mentioned, needs to be brought to the forefront. But you need the elements around you to make plays and be in the right spots. And I think that there's also been some mixed results with respect to that over the last few
seasons.
And I
think Eli certainly would have put his imprint on that Packer playoff game last year if he got some help from the guys around him.
And that's exactly what I'm pointing at. I mean, you have to look at the team as a whole as opposed to one individual. I know that from a fan perspective, from a narrative perspective, it's great to put everything on the quarterback. But we've got to remember there are two other facets, defense and special teams, in addition to multiple weapons around the quarterback. It's very simple to place everything on the quarterback, but I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Hey, look, and there were games last year where Eli could have played better, but there are other games where Eli played well and he didn't get the help that he needed, like we talked about. So you got to put everything together. But, of course, the quarterback is the most important position on the field, and obviously you have a much better chance to win if your quarterback plays well. So that's obviously no surprise. It's Captain Energy. He's Big Ed, and he's down in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, guys? We're back.
How are you?
Going in.
Indeed.
How you guys been?
We're great, Big Ed, man. How are you?
Oh, man. I've been dealing with so much down here. A lot of new things happening all different times of ways and different types of days.
I hear you, man.
But we're going to find our way through the season to make it through anyway.
Yes, sir.
Fellas, this is a new season here. Giant Nation, this is a brand new season here. Do we have what it takes to win it all? Yes, we do. The question is, will we do it? Now, watching the game last night showed a lot of things, particularly we got to be in shape. The biggest, most important thing for Sunday night is making it through the fourth quarter.
And by the way, Ed, another big thing, too, besides that, tackling. These guys have not tackled anybody since last January. Will they come out and be sound tackling and be able to make it through four quarters with their energy? I think those are two very big important factors that people overlook in week one of the regular season.
Of course, no question. Because what we're looking at here on this situation is they're going to play hard and they're going to get them off the field in these first few possessions. The key for us is not about the first half. It's just like the Super Bowl. It's about the second half. What kind of game we're going to have coming out of that second half, that's going to be the determining factor of how we're going to play our season. We got to play. We already have all elements that's there. Everything is there. Everybody is ready. The only little insight I'm going to add to say is Perkins has got to be a lot like a Tiki Barber runner. You run to the inside, make sure you bust it to the outside because the outside continuously seems to be open once he progresses through his runs. And watch how Tiki ran. Go back to some of Tiki's film. Perkins can be this, that type of back. As long as he strengthens himself, has a shelf in shape, and ready to run, he could be that premier back. I do believe that. As far as old plan, everybody relax. He's in the game plan. He's on limited play. Leave it alone. Don't worry about it. Be surprised. Be happy. All we want is to win. John and Lance, I love you guys. I miss you guys. My game target for this year's season is only one game. The first game I ever came to in Giants game, Seattle. Looking forward to coming to the Seattle game.
Awesome.
Later on this season.
Thank you, Big Ed.
Other than that, man, love you guys. Have fun out there. Do everything big. Big Blue all weekend. Big Blue all day.
Thanks, Ed.
We're going for number five, and I believe we can get it this year.
All right, Big Ed. All right. Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
201-93. I love Big Ed.
The optimism's always
high.
Oh,
he's the best. He puts a smile on my face every time. he does. Okay, I don't know. I'm a sucker. Let's go to Justin in Springfield. He's up next. Hi, Justin. What's going on, pal?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, so it sounds like everyone's confident in the defense going into Sunday, and I'm right with everybody. I think we've got what it takes to be a top three defense. Some things I'd like to see is get that turnover differential turned around more quickly this year.
Yep.
Kind of start turning the ball over quicker.
Good call.
Concerns I have, though, and I think especially with this game, is traditionally last year the Giants have been phenomenal, but they will give up a random big yardage over the top play in the passing game. And if that happens in Dallas a couple times, I mean, we all know a field goal can decide one of these NFC rivalry games. So what are they doing to adjust those big plays over the top that kind of come out of nowhere for 50 yards? And number two, Witten. I mean, we all know, 3rd and 5, they're going to Witten. I mean, can we double the guy? Can we take, like, a Belichick approach to just kind of, like, taking him out of the game? Or is there something we can do to address those two things with the defense? Because if we can, I think we're primed to have a great game.
Well, you're right. Jason Witten's got a tremendous track record against the Giants. And also, it's important to note, Keenan Robinson has officially been ruled out, one of their best cover linebackers. So, you know, the fact that you brought that up, and now we know for sure Keenan Robinson's out because he's still in concussion protocol.
Big test for B.J. Goodson.
Oh, indeed. Now, Goodson's been getting tested in coverage throughout the preseason. They've been trying to keep him on the field for as many downs as possible. But just like we're talking about the Cowboys' inexperience on defense, to be a fair looker into this game, you have to then at least question, well, the lack of experience that B.J. Goodson brings to the table, too, at that position. So I think Jason Witten is always a big storyline in this game because of his ability to move the chains and be that security blanket for no matter who the quarterback is for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and Justin, I wouldn't think about doubling him, though. The Cowboys have too many other weapons. Cole Beasley is just as valuable on third down. Dez Bryant, despite his lack of success last year against the Giants, is still very, very dangerous. Mickey was right. The last 5 or 6 games last year, he played like one of the best wide receivers in football. His foot got healthy, and he was phenomenal. And then finally on your big play point, which I thought was a good one, that is something that has plagued this team. And frankly, last year on offense, they didn't make nearly enough big plays. And, you know, people talk about the turnovers, and I think that's a real good point. I think one overlooked factor this year that'll determine how far the Giants go and if they win the division are the big plays. Can the defense cut down on the ones that they give up? And can the offense make more big plays through the air? And even on the in the run game, the Giants, I think, get fewer runs of 20-plus yards than any other team in football last year. So if they can do those things, I think it'll go a long way, not just today, but for the rest of the season. Thanks, Justin. We got to run.
I just wanted to add, appreciate the phone call, Justin. The defense against the pass ranked 23rd in the NFL. So if there's one area that you want to see improvement in.
Which you wouldn't think, though.
You would not on paper, because look at how the secondary appears on paper, and then you figure it translates.
And I think what covers up that issue was the strength of their red zone defense. I believe, weren't they first in the league in red zone defense last year, the Giants? I think they were on 30-something percent in terms of allowing touchdowns inside the red zone. So, you know, people don't often talk about the Giants as a bend-but-don't-break defense, but I think in a lot of ways last year, I think they did – I don't think that's their philosophy, but they did execute that. They'd rather get the turnovers. They'd rather get the three and out, sure. But when teams did get into the red zone, they did such a phenomenal job of keeping teams out, which is why those big plays were so harmful, because they wouldn't allow touchdowns inside the 20, but they would allow some via big plays. And the one Cowboy touchdown in that second regular season game last year was the big Terrence Williams play. Yep. It was either 31 or 38 yards, I don't quite remember, when Andrew Adams had the blown coverage when he went across the field. But I think that red zone defense did cover up some of those issues with the pass defense.
You hit it right in the nose, John. The yardage did not translate to points. And that's really all that matters at the end of the day. So the fact that they were so effective when teams were getting down into the red zone says a lot. And case in point, the Cowboys in that first game, you know, what people forget, John, is Dak moved the ball. In that entire first half, Dallas dominated time of possession. They got into the red zone constantly. The problem is they had to settle for Dan Bailey field goals. If Dallas gets one touchdown to replace a Dan Bailey field goal, we probably are talking about a very different outcome than 20-19.
All right, we got three callers. I got 7 minutes. Let's get everybody in. Jeff in Rhode Island will be first of the three. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Doing great, Jeff. What's up?
Good. That's good. I just wanted to call in and give you my prediction for the Giants wins this year.
Please.
So, the over-under is 9, so I'm going with 10. As far as the division, I think the division is up for grabs, really. I think any one of the four teams can take it. I also wanted to mention something about Witten. I know you already had a prior call to talk about him, but you may remember me calling you after the first game last year wanting to know why Witten was getting a free release off the line of scrimmage.
I do remember that.
By the Giants defense, and I wanted to ask Carl Banks about it. He was only on the program one time, and so I never got to ask him. But you know, Witten's been a very dangerous player against us over the years. And you know, I know about Beasley and Elliott and all that. All I've heard about all week is Elliott. But all I'm saying is, don't go to sleep on Jason Witten, because he could have a very big game against us. He's done it before, and I don't want to see him do it again. So, we got to go down there and beat the Cowboys, win the first game, and, you know, let's get it going right away.
Okay, thank
guys?
You, Jeff. Good
have
stuff.
A good day.
And trust me, the coaching staff's not sleeping on Jason Witten.
No.
Fans might not be talking about
age.
But I promise the coaches are. He asked, and he gave his, so I'll ask you. I'll put you on the spot. Giants wins this year? What do you think?
In terms of number?
Yeah.
I think the 9-10 ballpark is a fair estimate.
I'm going to go, Jeff. I think 10-6, and I think 10 will win the division. I think that's how tough the NFC is going to
be.
I think there'll be two teams that finish with 10. Both will make the playoffs. One will obviously be a division winner. I think the other will be a wild card. That's my prediction.
I'm torn. I mean, this could be a season where we just get one team out of the NFC East, too.
And not because the teams aren't good enough, because the schedules are so tough.
Well, the schedule is one. I really love what I'm seeing in that NFC South division. I could see, to be honest with you, John, I could see maybe three teams from the NFC South making the playoffs.
I think it's a very strong division,
which means that would only leave one team from the East. That would not surprise me, because I like Atlanta still. I think Tampa Bay, which was right on the bubble, they should be a playoff team.
They were tied with Detroit and lost the tiebreaker last year.
And then, you know, watch out for Carolina. Carolina is due for a bounce-back season.
And the Saints tried to add to their defense.
Yeah, well, they tried. Whether or not that happens for
we'll see if it works this week.
I'll give you credit for at least saying it. So when you take that into consideration, I think it's going to be a really tough test. The schedule, you have to take into consideration the fact that all of these teams are going to be much more challenged because of who they're playing outside of the division.
AFC West, a very strong division.
Much more so than the previous season. And all of the teams, in fairness, I think have also improved in certain areas of weaknesses from last season.
I agree.
The Giants included. So they're going to beat each other up. That's why these divisional games are so important. Because if you can sweep a divisional foe, that could very well be the difference between getting that ninth win versus getting that tenth win.
And going 4-2 in the division. We always talk about it. 4-2 in the division will put you in a great position. 3-3 gets a little bit tougher. Anthony in Dallas. He's up next. Anthony, what's going on? Are you a Giant fan in enemy territory?
I'm a big Giant fan. I'm the second time caller, and good job, guys. You're always on point with everything.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
You're welcome. My question is basically, I just wanted to kind of get status for game one with Odell Beckham. Is he going to be on the field or minimal plays?
Anthony, right now he is questionable, which according to the NFL syntax, that means he's a 50-50%
jargon
guy that's going to go on Sunday. The Giants do have a practice tomorrow. They'll test him, I'm sure. We'll see if he goes in that practice or not. And then we'll see on Sunday when they bring him out before the game, and I'm sure this will turn out – well, I shouldn't say I'm sure. I think this will become a game-time decision where they bring him out 2 hours before the game. They run him around or run some rounds to the Eli. I'll see if he can cut, and then they'll decide if he can play. So make sure you tune in to WCBS News Radio 880 at 7 p.m. on Sunday night, and Lance Meadow will give you the inactives, and you'll find out if Odell Beckham is playing or not.
I definitely will. And just one more comment. I say better if they could get this game and really, you know, set the tone for the rest of the season. This game is big. This game, week one, if they can, you know, hit the hammer and get us going, you know, that's going to set the tone for the rest of the season. Thank you so much, guys, and I'll talk to you down the line.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Anthony.
And F, by the way, WFN might be joined in progress.
I was going to say,
point.
Right?
It'll be close.
The Yankees post should be ending near
around
when
that
we're
time.
Starting.
Yes,
yeah.
The pregame show will start on WCBS 880 at 6:30 on Sunday, and then once the Yankee post game ends, I think they play
3:05.
Texas Rangers. So they should be done around 6:45, 7-ish,
that's
depending.
What I figured.
You never know how long these Yankee games go, though, you never know. So WFN will join us in progress once Yankee baseball is concluded.
Now,
I'll just send a text to Sweeney Murray to speed up that postgame.
What I was going to ask is, just from a technical standpoint, does CBS continue to carry the broadcast? Or once it moves to the fan, then CBS returns to news? Do we know that?
I believe CBS continues it, but I will find that out.
So it very well could be on two stations simultaneously.
Yes.
What I was trying to get to the bottom
of. I believe that is the case.
Okay.
But I will double check that.
Gotcha. Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Nick in the Meadowlands, you got 90 seconds. Go.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing, Nick?
So a couple callers talking about Jason Witten. Totally agree. I was going to say the same thing. That's one guy we've always had a problem with, no matter how good our defense is or how bad they are. It's not so much the big yardage, but it's just him moving the chains. So that's a problem, but I think we'll take care of it. And then another caller was talking about, and this goes after the first, you know, few games, because he saw it last night with Kansas City. They came out going, you know, balls to the wall second half. And I just hope that's something we'll figure out, you know what I mean, seeing if these guys don't get gassed, you know, at the end of the game. And the other thing is, you saw them running so much and all the formations. Another guy that called was saying, well, I've been talking about the fullback so much and Red Ellison. You're going to see so many different formations, and especially against Dallas, they're not going to know. It's going to be like last year with us, not knowing what Dak can do or Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They're going to – Ingram is going to have a nice game, I'm pretty sure, because they're not going to know anything about him. And if you watch preseason, you saw him get behind the defense, but the pass, unfortunately, didn't get caught in the end zone because the guy tipped the ball. But – I think it's going to be good for us. And Odell, if he does play, I could see something else I saw in preseason. Everybody looking at Brandon Marshall going down the sideline and Odell going right across with that little slant. Eli likes to hit him in stride, and I could see him doing that if he plays for his score.
All right.
So,
thank you, Nick.
Guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. And I think, like I mentioned before, that Byron Jones-Evan Ingram matchup should be a lot of fun.
Well, because Ingram is new, as Nick mentioned. I think that's fair, just like we were talking about this last season. Speaking of newness, though, I want to throw out real quick, we didn't mention special teams. Ryan Switzer is going to be the new return man for the Dallas Cowboys. Extremely dynamic
one
in terms
of
what he did at North Carolina.
One of the best returners in college football history.
That is somebody that they have to keep close to.
That's a really good point. I forgot about that.
Yeah, special teams is a big turning point in this series.
And give me your final point here on the game.
Well, my other final point that I was going to say, I wanted to throw out another number here because I had a few things on my mind.
Hey, go for it.
Second half, the importance of starting off good in the second half. I just noticed in the last two seasons, John, okay, 16 games, so 32 second-half possessions. Do you know the Giants have only scored 4 touchdowns out of those 32 second-half possessions over the last two seasons?
I didn't know the number, but I knew they had struggled in those situations.
Yeah, it's been a problem.
Yes.
It has been a problem in terms of setting the tone, as we've talked about with a lot of callers, once you come out from the half, come out from the locker room. So that's something that I think is important, not just for week one. I think it's important moving forward. I mean, this game to me simply comes down to ball security and play in the trenches. And the reason why I think it's important to play in the trenches is because the Cowboys have some new faces on their offensive line. What is the Giants' offensive line going to do? Is this going to be a statement type of performance, or is this going to be a continuation of the ups and downs from last season? And we talked about turnover differential. The Cowboys are an extremely opportunistic defense, and the Giants, they can be opportunistic, but are we going to see more consistency in that department? So those are the two main factors that I see.
I'm with you, and the one thing I'll add to what Lance said, and I said a few minutes ago, big plays. Both teams will have the opportunity to get one of their guys behind the defense, to recover a fumble, to catch a tough interception, to maybe have a return for a touchdown. You know, does a big play maybe get called back by a penalty? It's those little moments during the game where it's not necessarily the 70-yard catch you make and score for a touchdown. It's the wide-open receiver that should have a 60-yard touchdown that you don't connect with because of a bad throw or a penalty or a drop. And those are the things that can really swing the game for me. So I think those are the things you take a look at. These two teams know each other really well. It's who executes better. And that's going to be a lot of fun to watch on Sunday night.
Always is.
If you want to listen to some fun pregame action, tune in to Coors Light Giants Game Day again on WCBS 880 at 6:30. FAN will join in progress after Yankees baseball. And then, of course, kickoff at 8:30 with Carl Banks, Bob Papa, Howard Cross. And then it's Lance and Jeff Fiegels on the postgame show. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday night.
Have a good one.